Would you be surprised to know that some of the most successful women of our time face challenges just like you and I do?
Hi, I'm Amber.
And I'm Lisa. We're authors of the book Leading Ladies, Discover Your God-Grown Strategy for Success.
We invite you to join us in an honest, messy bun conversation about the things we'd rather keep hidden in our lives.
Some of those things can keep us from moving forward in purpose.
So grab a cup of something delicious, kick off your shoes, and hang out with us for the next 30 minutes. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another coffee chat with Amber and my cohort and co-author in crime, Lisa. Thank you for joining us today. And we have a special guest. I tell you what, we have a powerhouse woman and in the house.
Yay!
Dr. Kenita Williams. And that must be an amazing thing when people say, Dr. Kenita, how does that feel?
Absolutely mind blowing. And I don't even, and I get fussed at all the time because I'm like, I'm just Kenita, I'm just K. Yeah. And God is just so gracious and good because he reminds me, it's not, ma'am, it's not about you, it's about me. So yeah. The things that I have been able to accomplish and experience, it, I had to learn to know that it's about him and me showing his good work so he could be glorified. So it's definitely all about him, Amber.
Yeah, I want to actually have Lisa share how amazing this woman is because naturally us women, we don't like to talk about ourselves. So Lisa, I'm going to give you that responsibility to talk about Kenita.
Thank you. Kenita is a very new friend for me. I'm so excited to meet her. When Amber started sending me information, I was like, wow, this is like, this is so cool. We get to have Dr. Kenita with us today. I just think it's fun to call you Dr. Kenita. First of all, I love that. And Dr. K is cool too. So Dr. K, you will be as well. Yeah. I'm going to read straight from the bio. Dr. Kenita Williams is a consultant, speaker, author, and leadership wellness expert. She is the visionary behind Clear Vision LLC, where cultivating authentic leadership is the number one priority. And Kenita, you have done some awesome things in your life. Number one, first and foremost, I have to admit, we were talking about your children. It sounds like you have been an amazing steward of just parenting and mothering two amazing human beings. And the pride with which you told us about your daughter, who is at Howard University, and your son, it just sounds like God has utilized your influence there within the home. But also, drawing from 25 years of leadership experience, you've served as a legal assistant for the United States Air Force, right? You basically are a regional staff assistant to a U.S. senator.
Wow.
And an advisor to elected officials while serving on the Diversity Council for the state of
Alaska.
I can't imagine. I just, as I was reading this bio, I was like, how in the world? Yeah. Ever get to the place where these are the circles you are walking in?
Yes.
And how did God position you?
Yeah. And how in the world did you pick up some great survival skills in Alaska? Or did the military help you?
Listen, I have definitely picked up survivor skills, and I talk to people all the time, and I'm like, yeah, I was telling somebody yesterday, I was like, yes, I know how to hike. I know how to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and make them last, and we freeze them, and we do all the things. And so it's just been an amazing journey. Even when people like yourself, Lisa, read my bio, I'm just sitting there like, wow, that's pretty cool. And then I'm like, wow, that's me. Yeah. I'm just so grateful for the life God has given me. And I'm just in recent years, having to sit back and think about how good he is in the journey. And so I'm grateful even hearing things from others out loud, because it seems like I think we chatted a bit about how we just keep going and we do things and we just keep going and we're always busy. But sitting down, I believe gratitude is one of the biggest things that help us stay grounded and help us realize it's all about him and what he has done for us and what he continues to do for us. So when I hear, oh, she was this and she was that and she's done this, it's just God's grace. And I know we say all the time that he orders our steps and the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. And you hear all those things. But when you actually sit and think about your life and you go back over the things, it's just those like winks and reminders of he took me through this and then I accomplished this and I was able to do this. And it was all about him. Like living in Alaska, we were originally supposed to be there 3 years. We ended up being there for almost seven years.
Whoa.
So yes, that's a story within itself.
I know it sounds crazy because I'm right here stuck in the middle of the country, but I have this like Alaska would be like a dream trip for me.
Yeah.
I'm sure in my little Midwestern mindset, I don't have a clue what that means, but it just looks like, wow.
Yeah. I don't know if I could take that much sunlight and that much night. I don't know.
It would be hard.
Yeah. I don't know if I could do that.
It was so difficult. But you said the key word. You said dream trip. Like I listen to people that stay there forever and ever. And I'm like, what? I feel like I tell everybody it was the best of times and the worst of
times.
Right. It was so good for us. It slowed our family down a lot significantly because we were very busy and active in life. You know how it is, kids playing sports, doing all the things, working and beer and everything, church and ministry. And we moved to Alaska when it's negative 40 degrees, negative 50 degrees outside.
Right.
You hurry up and run to the car and then run home and you're in the house a lot more. When COVID hit, it wasn't even, we were experts by then. So we knew how to stay in the house. We knew how to be in
you
the house.
Knew how to occupy. You had no problem.
We had no problem. We could do a whole lot of trainings. Everybody's doing master classes. We could have definitely had a master class on how to stay inside.
How to stay at home.
Stay at home and do it and find the best things to do it. Your loved ones and be able to get through it in the house. Yeah. So yeah, living in Alaska was an eye opener for us. Life was slower there. You enjoyed being out when you were able to be out. So I think everyone was super happy when the sun was shining. But it was those dark seasons, 6 months darkness. But life still went on. You still had to go to work in negative 20. Now, kids were still outside for recess, negative and 20 degrees weather. When I say worst of times and best of times, it was exactly that. It was like you found things to enjoy. But one thing I feel like it did for me, guys, I really feel like it helped me appreciate the little things. Right. And we realized we didn't need as much as we had. We ended up really streamlining our life, getting rid of a lot of things, and even coming back to, we called the lower 48. We were like, we don't need all of this. We got rid of so much furniture and different things because we did retrain our brain to live in a more simple life and appreciate what we had and not continue to strive for better and always figuring things out.
Kenita, I know that it's amazing when you think about living in all these amazing places because a lot of my friends know that my husband's British. I lived in London for almost 2 years. And it's amazing when you get stuck in that scenery, you forget how amazing your life is and how many people were like, oh, I would love that. I would love that. And I remember like getting into the whole doldrum of work a day and I got to make money and I got to do this. And this is how we are. And even the food that we got to experience, which that's a vacation for us now, just going for food. And you often forget the blessings that you have around you and the opportunities that you get to have to expand. And I remember sitting in the middle of the night in Trafalgar Square with the big lions and thinking, looking down, seeing Big Ben and thinking, oh, you're the luckiest girl on earth right now. You're living your dream. But most of those times I would be like, okay, got to get up for work. So it's amazing to when you do have a vision of this is a place where people want to get. I am living in a dream. And we have to shake ourselves into the reality and focus on the goodness that God's put in our lives.
Right.
Yeah. And that's so good, Amber. And I don't know if I told you this, like the first 4 years of our marriage, we did live in England.
Oh, wow. And,
yeah. We got married. I met that military guy, fell in love. So I moved all the way from Delaware, the first state, to England. And we lived over there for the first 4 years of our marriage.
On the military base? On the Air Force base?
We lived on the base and we lived outside. We lived in Mildenhall.
Yes.
And so we lived downtown Mildenhall. And then we moved to, we were about 20 minutes outside of Cambridge.
Oh, wow. So,
yeah. Like, Newmarket.
I've been to your side of the woods. Newmarket.
We lived in Newmarket. And so we really enjoyed all our times. And because we used to get on the train and go, and we would go to London and all those things. Like you said, you don't appreciate or think about those things until you talk to people that are like, oh my God, that's amazing. Tell me more. And then you realize that our life was good. Like you sit in halls. Yeah. Think about how God has blessed you.
Yeah. Where you sit and just look around you and realize that the years of people that have gone on before you in places like that, as compared to right here in the United States, that's an amazing thought to me that you guys actually walked those streets, saw those buildings. I want to ask you just something. You said something that intrigued me about Alaska made you appreciate the little things and it helped you to streamline your lives. Into a more simple life. And we joked around about COVID, right? COVID taught us all how to do that. But I had the opportunity to speak to Babby Mason, who is one of our contributors to the book. And she had brought up the full thought process of when COVID hit, the pace at which she lived life just came tumbling down to nothing, right? Most of us, that was really hard.
Yeah.
To figure out how to do that. And so many of us were just chomping at the bit to get back to activity, let's be on the go, let's constantly be juggling those plates, all those things that we do. You said living there helped you appreciate the little things and streamline. Do you ever, now that you're on the other side of that experience, struggle with that back and forth of remember when we chose to make things simple with purpose and now we are tumbling headfirst uncontrollably? Do you struggle with that? And if you do, as a leader, how do you adjust to a balance?
Oh, that's such a great question, Lisa. Absolutely. What happened was, for me, we moved back here 2 years ago now. We're back in the lower 48. And when we moved back, I hit the ground running. I wanted to be a part of everything. I feel like God gave me this release. Go be a part of things and go speak and go everywhere that first year. Like I was on plane after plane, doing all the things and speaking. So this past year, going through 2020, I feel like God was like, okay, ma'am, you did good job. You got to see people. You got to get away from the moose and all the things. And now it's time to be still and know that I am God. And so I feel like 2023 for me was that reality check of you can't say yes to all the things. You can't be a part of all those things. You can't, because I was feeling all this overwhelm and burnout and I didn't even realize why. And then when I sat down, it was just like you were saying yes to so many things and doing so much. You didn't realize that you needed to be able to see what was a yes and what was a no and what was something you could support. And so some things now, I am now finding a balance in all of that. What to say no to, what to align my things with, what to be on mission. I say be on mission, military term, right? A friend of mine always jokes to me a lot and she's, oh, you're speaking here? Don't be mission drifting. And so then I have to sit and think about it. Okay, does this align with my values? Does this align? Am I aligned with this? And so I have to recheck myself on different things because it looks so good because it's a good thing. It's not always a God thing. I'm realizing now there's a balance in that. And sometimes we have this FOMO. We want to be a part of everything. We don't want to be left out. And then you realize that's not my thing. So maybe I could just support it. I give this joke all the time and I talk to people about, people will call you all the time. Can you do this? Can you fry the chicken? Can you do all this? And they always laugh because I'm like, you don't always have to be frying a chicken. And everybody always tells you, OK, Kenita, you do the best chicken because you know everybody wants you to do it. But at the end of the day, I'm like, so does Publix, so does KFC, so does Popeyes. You know, can I, which one would you like? I could buy them for you, bring them to you for 20 minutes versus spending 2 hours frying.
Exactly.
Yeah, I appreciate that because I think we try to be a jack of all trades and master of none. And God has really, actually, the whole clear vision thing that God, right before Easter, it was almost like spoke to my spirit, focus, Amber, focus, focus. And I had to get away from noise and even turn off my phone, which was it felt weird. It just felt, oh my gosh, what if somebody gets a hold of me? Or needs me. Those were the strange things because for some reason, I have such a hard time disconnecting because you feel that if someone's trying to contact you or something is happening and you're not available, you're letting somebody down, like Pavlov's dog almost. Your bell rings, you need to make sure that you're answering somebody or you're not in the vein of not being rude, honestly. So how do you, your whole thing is clear vision, which
right now I
need some clear vision too. I think we're all at a place we need clear vision, especially when you don't have a physical job title and we're doers. We become doers instead of being. So what is your secret to helping people focus in on clear vision?
Because sometimes we say yes, we're working a beat, and then we realize, I'm not supposed to be doing this. So how do you back out successfully?
Yep, that's so good. And that's exactly where clear vision came from. Mm-hmm. It was my life. It was like, okay, you can't lose focus on what I have for you to do. So it's definitely Hebrews 12, keeping your eyes on Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. And because he's the author, he's the finisher of our faith. So exactly that, like I have learned and which I'm trying to teach everyone else, is that we have to know our core values. We have to know and use those core values to create our own personal mission statement, right? So I say if we have our own personal mission statement, it's like the military, they have their mission. The Air Force has their mission. The Army has theirs. The Navy has theirs. And we want all of them dueling with their supposed to do. We need the Air Force in the air being able to keep those planes up and see all those things above. We need the Navy in the water doing what they need to do. So when they start mission drifting, and if they're doing something that they're not supposed to do, that doesn't help any of us, right? I always say about Burger King always tries to do different stuff. They try to come out with tacos. I'm like, we just need the Whopper. Stay on mission.
I love Chipotle because they do the same thing every single time and you can expect the same thing. Right. And I think I wish we could do that. It seems like we have all these, I can speak for myself. I have all these things that I love to do. Right. And I think God has brought me to a point where he has, and he's always said this, what is good, what is necessary, and what is beneficial are often three separate things.
Yeah.
So you have to learn to discern what is good, what is beneficial, and what is necessary.
Because there's a whole lot of people out there really ready to tell you what you are.
Yeah.
Or they see you successful in one area, and so they very quickly want to enlist you in the plans they have for you, for your life.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
What do you say to them? Like, how do you say without breaking off a potential way to potentially work with someone later on? How do you do that?
Yeah. And it goes back to what I was saying, knowing who you are. Like when you know who you are, you won't fall for everything, right? When you know who you are, you won't get on that whole course of mission drifting, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't align with just writing your book, and you guys had all the stories and things and testimonials of the ladies. I've been approached to be a part of different books and all the things and wanting to be a part of things. And I'm just like, gosh, but I had to learn that is a great thing. I love what they're doing to collaborate, but is it my thing? Right. But I, times I had to realize that it's not for me at that time. And it right. was, but it's a great thing. And sometimes I'll just support it, or I'll just right. give funds to it, or sponsor or whatever. But once we find out who we are, I think that's the key.
Yeah.
When you know who you are, it's easier to say, hey, I appreciate the invitation. Thank you so much.
But this is but not me.
This is not it, right? This is not it.
I am not taking your invitation to cook chicken.
I am not your person. Amber is really not your person to cook chicken.
Well, I am really not, because Lisa had to teach me to boil water and I put gum into potatoes. So I am not the person to cook chicken.
You know what? And what's so funny is that people that we often know, or like our friends and family, they often try to keep us in that box that we used to be a part of or do, right? Like, mm-hmm. if they don't see us grown and growing or growing from that space. They only want to keep us in that thing that served them. Right. I find that often my family, I'm number 6 out of 7. So I can go home and Dr. Kenita is out the window, girl. It's my family is like, girl, get in there and do this and do that. I'm number 6. So you get told what to do and you do what they tell you to do. And it's so funny. I tell my family, they're so disrespectful. They come to my stuff and they're so disrespectful. They family is family and friends are friends. And when they know you, they don't put you in that space and they keep you in that box. And so it's important to like know who you are. And no, because it can get very personal sometimes, because it does. It can be yeah. when you're in different spaces. No, I do. This is what yeah. This is what I'm strong at.
It makes me think of, too, I don't want to be that person to someone. Yeah. I don't want to be that person that basically I'm keeping them in this position, in this box, in this vein of things, because it serves a purpose for me.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I want to see them walk in the fullness of what they're supposed to be doing outside of what I need them for. Let right. kicking your hands off yeah. and let them bloom and blossom, whether yeah. it's our children or it's our siblings or whomever.
Yeah. And I was like, sometimes God has someone else for such a time as this.
Yes.
I just think that we need to get there's something about undressing from the roles that people put you in. I'm not trying to, it is really because like I have a lot of people who put me in different roles in life, especially my family as well. I'm just silly old Amber. And when they actually say I'm a good writer, that's you read anything.
I'm surprised that they're you read a chapter.
Exactly.
And can you, people pay to hear you speak?
Not my family, girl. They don't pay for nothing.
They just want her to make the chicken.
Just coming. Yeah.
They have her pigeonholed, the chicken maker.
They're like, whatever, go set the table. But honestly, I do love hospitality. And all my friends that know me, I love putting together a good event and I love decorating. I love doing those things. But ultimately, like I said, like God, we continue to grow and we continue to move forward to what God is calling us to. And it's okay. Now I have a choice if I want to do this or not do it. And it does remind me of a scripture. I want to share this one is that when I got back from being in this whole space of being busy and all these things and moved back to the area that God had to ground me last year and put me in a space and give me 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. And so that was one of the biggest things. So I had to determine, okay, just because I can do it, just because I'm good at it, doesn't necessarily mean it's the thing that God has me to do at that time. And so I had to realize that. And then when I did, it was like, because I've always been like an assistant to someone in power and being assistant alongside. And then God was calling me to the forefront to be this leader now.
Yeah.
And so I literally had my conference this is my 5th year doing my leadership conference. This was the first year I keynoted at my own conference.
Whoa.
First year. And I had to think about that. And I only did it because one of my friends, I invited her to come. And she was like, ma'am, I'm not going to keynote unless you keynote. Doesn't work.
I'm grateful for friends like that because we talked a little bit earlier. And I do want to pull this in. It has to do, once again, with changing your brain.
Yes.
And how exactly. You think of yourself. We all tend to do those kinds of things, especially women in leadership. It's okay. Amber and I joke all the time, I can zhuzh anything. You have flowers on the table, I am the master zhuzher. You have an event, I will bring the sparkle and the polish. I will zhuzh and make you fantastic. Mm-hmm. But you want me to just be that person that puts it on, does it, speaks? No, I'm not that person. I'm just the zhuzher, right?
Yeah.
Tell me how you change your brain and transition. Because we were joking around about bios. Bios are one of the hardest things to write about yourself. I can write about everyone else all day. How do you change your brain? Tell us some of the steps you had to go through.
Yeah, for me, I had to do this, the be still part, which is the hardest thing for someone that likes to be out and about and being around people. So that year, 2023, last year, when I came to the space and God was like, are you tired yet? Pretty tired. I'm like, yes, I'm tired of this and people and things and all this stuff. And he was like, but are you tired of you? And I'm like, okay, God. So it was about being still. We quote the scripture all the time, be still and know that he is God all the time. But literally, that's what I had to do. I had to stop.
Mm-hmm.
I sit down and I had to stop. And then I had to, for one, repent and say, God, I'm sorry for doing all the doing too much. It was just like I was doing so much that I was so burnt out that it was like I lost sight of what I was supposed to be doing. I had to sit down and be still, go through the whole Lord, I'm sorry, but do better thing. And once I sat down, I began to actually see, oh, that's what you wanted me to do. Oh, that's who I should be partnering with. Oh, it was like once I actually sat down and got out of myself and really just focused on him, it was like having the prayer time, sitting down and having a devotion with him and really hearing from him and not just having a quick prayer running out the door, right? It was like actually sitting, meditating, pausing, having that time that I begin to see the need of these leaders.
Right.
Realize, okay, you were put in those jobs and positions and spaces, even all the places that I've lived in. Like when I started reflecting on my life and where I've been and who I worked for and what I've done, it all made sense. And I'm like, it was like in that commercial, I should have had a V8.
That's right.
No, that was like, okay, God, you wanted me. This is what my life was all about. And I think I don't do that enough to go back. I tell everybody now is about sit down and make a list of your strengths and your weaknesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
But actually, I tell everybody, don't make it like that human resources answer. So I have a strong quality of being a organizer and just those little simple answers, but actually look at the strengths of what you went through, what you overcame, what did you gain from that? And in those little lines, he shows us what he wants us to focus on. Like going,
right.
Say, oh my gosh, I did live over here and do all these things. I do know how to sit quiet and find things to do and show other people. And so we gain so much in the life that we've lived. And those are the very things that we try to forget and move forward to. And God, oh, I wanted to use that. No. And so I really feel like when we take those things of where we came from, what our strengths are, even how we grew up, like that's part of our testimony. That's part of what he wants to use. And so many times we get so distracted, so disappointed in things that we don't see what God was really trying to do through that thing.
Yeah.
So that's one of the major things that I did is actually sat down and looked at, because I don't know if I share with you ladies that when I married my husband, I only had 1 year left in college.
Wow.
But I fell in love and got married and to England.
That sounds like us.
Yeah. Like you fell in love.
Wait, we are falling in love. I had 1 year left of college.
There you go. We should write a whole book about it, Amber. Falling in love. But then it was like, after that, I just got involved in life. Like one thing after the other, I was going to complete that 1 year. I was going to complete it. I promise I'm going to complete it. And 1 year turned into 5 years, turned into 10 years. It was just those things. And then it was actually sitting down and realizing in these last few years that all the things that God was doing, he was building my life to be able to be who I am. But he's so gracious that he doesn't forget the desires of our hearts either.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I really feel like when we sit and pause, allow God to be God.
Yeah.
Then we see a true picture and a clear picture. And that's where it came from.
And I think that it's interesting you said, because we were in the same kind of boat. Philip and I went over for 3 months of holiday at the end of my junior year, and we ended up eloping. At the time where I was supposed to go back to school, I just kept feeling, oh, I don't want to really go back. And then they gave my room away at college, and things were just happening. And I was like, okay, there seems to be blocks here. So I ended up staying and getting a job, and then coming back with my husband, who had grown up Church of England, and then I'd even tried to go to a different college in the UK, and everything that happened led me back to Springfield, Missouri, coming back to college at the college I had went to, living on campus with my husband. And that's where God spoke to him, and he really dedicated his life to Christ. And then that's where I recommitted my life to Christ. But if it wasn't for that sequence, I don't know if we would be in the same vein that we are. And because that was a critical move. And even though we came back with nothing almost, and we were like building up, we literally had tree stumps that we wheeled in from campus to use as furniture. Now that's really cool. They'd cut down trees and we'd move them in as furniture, and we just make do and do things. And my husband is legally blind, so he had to work through some things because we didn't have transport, stuff like that. But you can see, even when we feel like we're moving forward, if you can just understand that the greater picture is God steering the ship back, and he always touches back on our experience for some reason. He has an ability to do that. He always cuts out and touches back on original design. He always touches back on how he's designed us, where we are gifted. And I think that's a lot of people get caught down in, well, I'm gifted in this area, but I don't think it's a viable mission place. What do you do with that? Some people are talented with sales. How can that be a God mission? How can that be a God purpose? And I know that I just would love for some clarity on that. How do you really dial in on mission if you're working at McDonald's in your period of life?
Yeah, that's a good question, because so many people I encounter all the time. I worked a lot with young military spouses, and also even with leadership. You sit in these spaces and you ask these leaders, what drove you to be a senator? What drove you to be the CEO and everything? And when you ultimately begin to really sit, and it goes back to just those moments of sitting, right? Those moments of really pausing and taking those times. And I think, Lisa, we were talking about retraining your brain, right? So it's a scientific noted thing that being able to stop and pause and breathe for 5 seconds resets your brain. Mm-hmm. And it's a sad thing when we can't even pause for 5 seconds. Right? And because we're so busy being busy, right? You know, get to the end of the day and it's, wow, what did I do today? And you feel like you haven't even accomplished anything, but you were busy though, but it seems like nothing was accomplished. And so that's one of the biggest things that I'm even working on in the book that I'm writing right now, is about being able to pause and reset and being able to reflect. And because I always say it's power in the pause. So when you pause, there's so much power there, because you see things that were right in front of you that you didn't see. Like when you're actually pausing and sitting and you see these things that are actually right there. And so even like the worker that's in McDonald's, or I say all the time, the military spouses that we're constantly picking up every 2 years, moving with our husbands, starting over, starting finding new community, finding a church home and finding friends. It's hard, but we have to see what God is doing in that. When he says that he knows the plans that he has for us, right? He plans to prosper us, plans to not bring us harm, plans to bring us to a future. So I say, sit down and ask him, okay, God, if you know the plans, what's going to prosper me?
Right.
And sit with that. Ask him, what is going to prosper me? And if we, because we read right by it, we write that. And I said this to you, Amber, before in one other discussion we had. If he knows the plans for us, but we write the scripture in like the graduation cards and all that stuff. But do we really sit with that scripture and say, God, what are the plans that you have for me? Mm-hmm. What's the thing that's going to prosper me? What's the thing that's going to bring me a future? What's going to bring me hope? And I feel like those are the three keys that help you write your personal mission statement. The thing that's going to prosper you, the thing that's going to bring you hope and to bring you a future. That's your purpose right there.
Right there. I think that's a good breakdown for people because purpose is so nebulous sometimes. My purpose sometimes is to pick my daughter up from school, and you don't see God in that. And that's the part where it gets confusing and we get our purpose and we lose it most of the time, or we don't get that moment to breathe and say, okay, right where I am, what do you want me to do?
Right there at that moment, we have a friend, Kara Snyder, who's wrote the book, The Carline Mom, right?
Yes.
When you read those little stories that she puts in the book, it's sitting in the car line. It's like the things that you can actually read and do and reflect on. Mm-hmm. And it's that, but you think about it from the other side of the coin as that Carline mom, you're just like, I'm the Carline mom. I got to go pick up the kids. I got to go do this. But there's so many good things that you can get in that moment. My son is 14. And so I pick him and his friends up to play basketball. So I get these teenage boys in my car, like you can only imagine the stories that go from there. But at the end of the day, I started using those moments as asking them questions, asking them what they're thinking about, asking them their thoughts. And some of the stuff I want to hear, some of the stuff I'm like, go talk to your dad. That's a little too much sharing, right?
That's not what I want. Yeah, I can't do this one. Dad, where are you?
Yeah. But, you know, it's like using every moment as an intentional moment, using everything as something that's part of your story. And I think often we don't do that. We get so caught up in the woulda, coulda, shoulda. We get caught up in, oh, her life is great. Oh, you look at Amber, you look at Lisa, you look at Kenita, like my kids are bigger now and off to college and all that. But people don't think about, man, if her daughter's 23, how about those years in between?
Right.
And I think we could learn so much if we stop and pause instead of looking and being like jealous or looking at people in actually learning from them. Because my thing is that if Kenita raised a 23-year-old daughter who is doing well and successful, ask her how she did it. Like, instead of looking and being envious. And I think we just miss some of those good things where God has just put it right in our face. And we're so in our minds thinking about other things and thinking about the woulda, coulda, shoulda. And God, I got the answer right in front of you.
Even our what people would choose to consider failings. What about the mom who has a child who's really struggled and as an adult is still struggling? How did you make it through that? How did you remain prayerful and hopeful? We don't recognize that our story and how God equipped us to walk through it might have any potential weight to help someone else. We just don't even recognize it.
We don't realize how powerful our story is. We don't realize how I say often that I went through certain things, not just for me. And it's not about me. It's about that next person that needs to know that they can make it too. A lot of times I reach back. I do a lot with these military spouses because I remember being that 20-year-old moving from Delaware to England and not knowing anything about military,
right.
Not knowing anything about being married. Like, right. Here I am all the way across the water from my mom and my family and having to be a wife. Yes. Now look at this man and I'm his wife. And I really sympathize and empathize with the young ladies now. And I actually, that's like a driving force for me to help them and give them what I wish I would have had.
Yeah. I know that Jane Herlong in the book, who is our comedian, and she talks about finding your sparkle. She says, if you've been through some stuff and you can help somebody else, that's purpose.
Yeah.
If you can bake a pie and teach others how to bake a pie, that's purpose.
Mm-hmm.
If that's your sweet spot, and pie baking is not my sweet spot, but at the same time, it's like you don't think of those things as purpose or ministry, but you just really need to breathe, sit, mm-hmm. be still, and realize that some things that you don't necessarily connect as purpose do connect. And Lisa is our note taker. Like, I would love, there are so many things, so many good things. I'd love for some bullet points for Lisa to reiterate for our listeners.
This is the hard part. I took 3 pages worth of notes, so I'm not sure. Once again, overachiever here. I don't really know what to do here. A couple of things that really struck me was this whole concept of just what we talked about, retraining your brain. Mm-hmm. And recognizing what that takes and mm-hmm. basically understanding you need to know who you are. You yes. need to know your values. You need to know not to get involved in mission drifting, right? That's something that's important. And also something that was key to me, it just struck a chord, is people want to keep you in the position that serves them the most.
Mm.
Yeah, you got to make sure that, number one, you aren't one of those people keeping someone else confined because it serves your purpose, but also recognize that sometimes we have to break free of that, even if we know we might be disappointing them, leaving them in a place where they have to find another way to reach their purpose, right? I also liked when you talked about how do you train your brain. Specifically, you need to be still, pause, take a seat, sit back, and in that process, really pray and ask God, what is my purpose? What yes. do you have for me? God wants to use our testimony. That means the trials, the life, the grit of where we've already walked. He wants to utilize that. He wants to make it a part of what spurs others on too.
Yeah.
Amber, you said something really cool when you said the greater picture is God steering the ship in all of this.
Yeah.
And I think it would serve to remind us of that. So be still, sit down, ask him what is going to prosper.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So those are just many of the little notes.
So exciting that we, Kenita, we could have talked to you, and actually we've right. talked to you for an hour, but we can talk to you even more. I suggest that someone who is listening or watching this live, go back and get your notes book out, because you're going to have to take notes, because there are so many gems.
Yes.
Kenita, that you've given us today. I would love for you to just cover this in prayer and pray for those specifically who are struggling with clear vision yeah. for today, tomorrow, whether that be now and in the future.
Right.
But they're just struggling.
Yeah. Yeah, and I that will be my pleasure. And that's what I just pray that for everyone, that they'll see clearly who God has called them to be. And then once they see that, and that's all that matters, is keeping our eyes on him. He's the author and finisher of our faith. So, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for being our God, who is the one who has created us, that you called us out of darkness into a marvelous light. And we say thank you. Lord, we just thank you for knowing the plan, knowing why you put us on this earth, knowing why you have called us where you have called us to be, whether it be in England, Alaska, whether it be Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, Florida, wherever you have your listeners right now, God, let them know that you are with them. Let them know that you have created them and that you have purpose for them. So let them pause. Let them find time to ask you, what will prosper me? What will bring me a future? What will give me hope? And Lord, once you begin to show and reveal this to them, show them the steps to take to not our will, but your will be done. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. And we thank you for an opportunity to be used by you. We thank you for being able to show our good works that you may be glorified. We just give you honor. We give you glory. We give you praise. And we thank you for letting us be in this crazy, chaotic world. But we know that our God is greater. Our God is bigger. And Lord, you are higher than anything. And we just thank you for that. And we give you honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yes, amen. Speaking of writing things down, we have a journal, an amazing Leading Ladies journal. It's coming out on April 22nd. It's called Leading Ladies Discovery and Next Steps Journal. Yes. And we've made it an immersive experience because we can't be just a bunch of lines on a piece of paper.
No, because Amber and Lisa are extra all the time.
I love extra. No wonder we're getting along so well. I love it.
Yeah. So you guys, you want to check this out. It has reflection. It's meant to go hand in hand with the Leading Ladies book, which, you know, we've talked a lot about today exactly the concepts that have connected with the book.
Yes.
Here, Dr. Kay has talked about that. So if this has resonated with you, you want to get that book. You want to get the journal because you need to write things down. We also have a music playlist. We have a essential oils body spray coming out that you can. It's called Leading Ladies Abide. And it's
extra.
We have
there are coloring pages.
There are a
few scattered adult type color. If you're into that,
yeah. If you're into coloring, get your coloring pencils out. This is going to be a fun experience. And also, as I said, quiet time, write things down, discovering, really getting into those big, deep, pause and be still moments where you can really connect with what God has for you in your greater purpose and vision. We want to get some clear vision. How many want to be? I want
clear vision.
Clear vision for my 50s, clear vision for my 60s and 70s, 80s, 90s.
That's right.
We all have purpose at whatever stage we are in our lives. So I want to thank you. So check it out, leadingladies.life. We're going to have more information about the journal, the coming journal, and the gift sets. And we're going to be doing some special extras with that. And Lisa, any final statements?
I'm just thrilled to death that I got to meet Kenita today. And I just want to say thank you once again for joining us. It never ceases to amaze me how God has a plan ultimately overall. And it feels like the more we do what we do, there is a vision to see his children, his people walk in purpose. And there are so many people. He's reading our mail to each other. And I just love that he's giving us a focus. It lets us know we are on the right path and we are focusing on what is for this day for us. So, Kenita, I bear witness to what God is doing with you, and I'm grateful that you got to spend today with us. It's helped to encourage us.
Yes. And where can people connect with you and your conferences and what you're doing with your book and such?
Yeah, thank you for that. You can find me at www.clearvisionleader.com.
Clearvisionleader.com. And you do coaching, don't you?
I do leadership coaching, and I also train and certify leaders in life coaching. Yeah, absolutely.
Wonderful.
So you guys who are really wanting to go all out, retrain your brain, Kenita is the one to talk to. And I've enjoyed talking to you. We've all enjoyed talking to you. I think we could have a whole series just with Dr. K.
I'm here for it. I am here.
I'm already envisioning Leading Ladies Book 2, and I'm
going
to have to write a chapter.
Yes, exactly.
My pleasure.
All right. Thank you guys for being with us today, and you guys have an amazing week, and we will see you soon. Take care.
Bye, guys.
In a world that often tries to confine and categorize, best-selling book Leading Ladies, Discover Your God-Grown Strategy for Success celebrates the diverse tapestry of women just like you and their unique journeys of faith. Join Lisa and I as we partner with over 30 women from every hue, age, and walk of life, united by one mission to let Christ shine through our gifts wherever we are. Within the pages of Leading Ladies, you'll find a wealth of wisdom, inspiration, and practical guidance. These women share their personal stories, triumphs, failures, and the lessons they've learned along the way. Leading Ladies is more than just a book. It's a movement, a call to action for women of faith to rise up, support one another, and make a difference in the world. Together, let's celebrate the strength, resilience, and faith of leading ladies from every background and be inspired to let Christ shine through your gifts, wherever you may be. Leading Ladies, Discover Your God-Grown Strategy for Success. Available now wherever books are sold.